let's just kind of rejoice in what God is showing, because the scripture says every joint supplies. So if you look at your neighbor and you see a joint, that should give you a clue. Make sure they supply. Amen? And amen. This morning, I had a few questions that came into my head, and I was crying out to the Lord, "What do you want?" And I heard, "Why do you go to church?" And I said, "Ooh, that's cool, Lord. So, who's got a response to that? Why do you come to church?" Yes, Peggy. Okay. So this is a place to connect with Him and others in the Bible. Corporate anointing. Second answer. Anyone else? Refill her pitcher. Go back and dump it out at work. Anyone else? Malene? Yes? Make you feel better. Uh-huh. So you come here to get spoiled?
No.
No? Uh-huh. We can spoil them a little bit over here, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else? Part of His obedience. Okay, Crystal?
I love the music. I love it.
Oh. She gets golden fuzzies. Nothing wrong with golden fuzzies, huh? See, there's no right opinion. And there's no wrong opinion. Because we're all in a different place. I can remember going to church and just fulfilling my duty. You know, it's a thing to do. But this is what came this morning. Number one, I come because I have a great desire to spend my life mending broken people. And God crashed me with that many years ago. And I mean crashed. And I wept for days because He finally showed me the purpose of why I had suffered, why I had been rejected, why I had been given away. And it was so that I could taste what my purpose would be. Now, I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to just kind of mentally picture the biggest pain you've ever had in your life. And it's not your wife, Pete. If you can picture that, it'll give you a picture of your future specialization. It'll give you a picture of how you are going to be compassionate to someone else who's in that same place. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. See, your heart is being formed through the things that you suffer. Number two, when I come, there is a harmony that comes when I am connected with the saints. Fellowship. Do you see how it relates to the same things that others have given? Number three, I come to give what the Lord put in my heart. I come to give what the Lord put in my heart. So you're now contributing. And if a church is only there to give out and you to sweep in, it has a purpose, and there's a season for that. But there's also another season where you come to give what you have. And you don't always feel like giving it. Come on, I can't be alone. How many agree with that? Yeah, you just don't feel like it. Okay, the emotions aren't connected to church. Emotions are wonderful gifts, but you can't trust them. So I'm cautioning you. They're part of your soul, and they're very selfish. Okay? Number four. I come to give to God the first fruit of my week, and to honor God first, and to give Him praise, which is, again, something that you guys have already spoken out. But you're not always going to feel like doing that. So if you're trusting your feelings, what's going to happen? You're going to be deceived. Okay? And it's a season. We all have those seasons. So if you think somebody's going through that season, be the person that says, I understand. Can I help you? Can I intercede for you? Can I pray for you? Can I lift you back up? I should have heard an amen there. Number five, I also come to receive instruction and a confirming word to encourage me to keep on going forward. And that word can come from anybody in the body. That word sometimes comes when people have no clue that they've given me a word of encouragement. They don't have a knowing. They just don't have it. And you know what? To God be the glory, because I don't always tell them. I don't always tell them. You know why? Because sometimes it has to be confirmed in two or three witnesses. Because if it's a real, let's say, need in my heart, something that's dramatic that's going on in my life. How many have a few little drama corners in your life right now? Put your hand way up, because you need to look at it. All right, so you're all related. There's drama in your life. Okay? And it's not always Holy Ghost drama. But it can be if you turn it over to the Lord. And so, there are times when I come to church and I'm saying, oh God, please, just move the right individual. Or have me hear the right scripture that'll pull me out of what I need to be pulled out of. And you know what? Sometimes He makes me wait. I come and I know, oh, well, now this one's going to have the word. And guess what? It's not that one. It's someone else. God will use the simple to baffle the wise. You know what I mean by that simple? I don't mean the person is simple. I mean the unexpected. The one that you'd say, well, that's not the chosen vessel. I've got news for you. He'll use whatever it takes to get you to know that you know that you know that you know that it's God. So that you will be convinced that you're on the right track. And all of God's people said, amen. How many need convincing? Yeah, we all do. So there's not an exception here. Every single one of us comes to the Lord, and we all have a desire to please Him, to serve Him, and to grow and mature. And it's not always comfortable. I want you to go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now, this is Paul and Silas. And I kind of want to skim through. In the beginning of the chapter, he's in Thessalonica. And when he has passed through Amphipolis, I hope I'm right, Apollonia, then came to Thessalonica. where there was a Jewish synagogue. So you might kind of want to put the reality check there that Paul was a Jew going to the Jews first. That might help you. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them, so he stayed there 3 weeks. Okay? From the scripture, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Why? Why would he take time to tell them that? Because they didn't know. They expected a king to deliver them, and they got a dying lamb. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And he said, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, not a few prominent women, meaning quite a few. But the Jews were jealous. Ah. See, the same disease that happened to Paul happened to these Jews. Paul understood jealousy. He was jealous because all these people that were going to the Lord, he knew, as far as he was concerned, were leaving God. They were disobedient. He had tasted. That was part of his background. So the pain in his heart is now, what? Being used to transform these that are jealous, just like he was. Verse 5. The Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house. Who's ever been an innocent bystander? You might be related to Jason. In search of Paul and Silas, in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason. Ha ha, innocent, huh? Well, you had that man in your house. You're guilty by? Thank you. You had that Jesus character over to your place, so you're just as guilty as him. They dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials and shouting, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. So what? Their reputation has already preceded them. Amen? And Jason welcomed them into his house. Ha ha. He's guilty because he even brought them home. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, and called Jesus. The one called Jesus. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Look at your neighbor, says it's going to cost you money if you bring them into the house. Amen? You see the pattern hasn't changed? Next, it's entitled in the NIV, in Berea, or Berea. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Jewish synagogue. Got it again? Now, the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. If what Paul says was true, then we've got to change. Right? Many of the Jews believed, but as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowd and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens, and then, left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, notice this doesn't always happen in the same week. You've read it in the same hour, but it's a period of time. Verse 16, in Athens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. How many see there's idols in your town? So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day. On the job, girl. On the job. Marketplace. Shopping place. Grocery store. Anywhere where it's time to speak about the Lord. Day by day with those who happened to be there. So he was just doing what comes naturally. He wasn't trying to go out and preach on the street corner. He was obedient to doing what needed to be done. 18, verse 18. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment because Stoic philosophers was something foreign to me. Until one day, I'm in my office, I'm praying with a gentleman, and I hear the word in my heart, there's a Stoic spirit destroying this man. Time out. How about that? Hold on. Hello? No. Was that a timely call? All teasing aside. I'm praying with this man, and I'm saying, Lord, what is wrong? How can I help this person? And the Lord said to me, because Ephesians 6:12 says your battle is not against flesh and blood. So I know the problem isn't physical, it's spiritual. Guess what? The Holy Spirit said there's a Stoic spirit operating in that man. And I thought, whoa, never heard of that, Lord. Don't know what that means. I don't remember Jesus casting out any Stoic spirits. Had no clue. But you know what? There was an attitude about this person. This person knew everything about everything, and there was no way you could teach him a thing about anything, because he already knew it. How many have got a few Stoics? Set in their ways. No way could you budge them. So I said to the Holy Spirit, okay, I mean, this is great news. I know what the problem is. How do I present it to this person without offending the man? You don't mind offending the spirit, but how do you present it to the person without offending the man? Remember, say, my battle is not against flesh and blood. People in my family are not my problem. People on the job are not my problem. But there may be Stoic spirits using them like they could have used me. Or maybe still could use me. Got it? So now I prayed and I said, Lord, what do I do and how do I present this? And the Lord opened up my vision. And I saw what that spirit looked like. I didn't like it. It looked like a leprechaun. You've all seen those wonderful cards you send on March, okay? Well, guess what you're advertising? Much of that stuff comes from that spirit or family of spirits. Yeah. It was smoking a big stogie. You don't forget a vision like that. And I knew instantly that it had a cup and it was full of booze. said, Lord, now what do I do? No instructions. But I did remember buying the strong man. Okay, Lord. So I proceeded to tell this individual about what I was seeing. And I think he probably sank about 4 or 5 inches into the chair. And I said, I'm not blaming you, but you picked this up somewhere. And it could be from your background. It could be from your family. It could be other things. But I'm not blaming anybody. I'm telling you what's trying to destroy you. Because he was there to receive. That's the secret. If a person is with you to receive something, then you can give. If they're there to teach you something, shut up and listen. Got it? Now that's hard news, but it's the best news. Because you don't know if you're the anointed teacher or the anointed receiver. So, recognizing now what you're dealing with, as I proceeded, I did have an ability, once I explained that this battle was not against flesh and blood, that this person was stuck in a place where they didn't have a way out, and God was giving a vision to be able to what? Set the captive free. Once they kind of understood that, they said, whoa, okay, now we can go forward. So we joined hands, and we bound the strong man. And cast it out. And it left. It left. So that's when my education was, Lord, what kind of spirit does this do? Well, you want to see the fruits of a stoic spirit? Watch. Verse 18. A group of Epicureans and stoic philosophers should give you a clue, began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. First of all, what is he called? He's called a babbler, so this is a mocking type of force. It's going to mock you. It's going to laugh at you. It's going to make fun of you. Got it? Okay. He seems to be advocating foreign gods. So he's trying to pull, what? Trying to pull you away from familiar forces. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So now, it's anti-truth. Okay? Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of, meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? So they're giving him a little bit of grace. You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears. We want to know what they mean. 21. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking and listening to the latest ideas. That also gives you a clue of what these forces can do. They're always looking for somebody else's new ideas and building on them and discussing it, accomplishing what? Accomplishing what? Zero. Nothing. They're not even working. Verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. All right, so what does that spirit do? Huh? It flatters and it's... Paul is telling them, you're very religious. Who was more religious than Paul? So he's delivering people that he's what? Has already been delivered out. That gives you a clue, doesn't it? J. you ever meet a stoic Jew? Look at Paul. Because before you have Paul, you have Saul. Who could be more stoic, more religious, more determined, more argumentative? Okay? By the fruits you shall? By the fruits you shall? Yes. By the fruits they produce, you'll see what kind of tree. Amen? Verse 23. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your object of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined. Who determines? God determines. The time set for them to exact. The times for set for them, which means the time to be born is now. So God determines the time of your birth. He also sets, what? For them the exact place where they should live. Violet, tell your son you're supposed to live in Thorndike. Okay, son, respond. Mom, so are you, huh? See, God's timing for things is also something that we need to be aware of. You can run away from God, but he's always going to go with you. And he may have some pre-planned things that you have no clue about. Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So he's using something familiar to educate them about who they're worshiping that they don't know. 29. Therefore, since we are God's offsprings, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone. So he's exposing them to their idols. Made of what? Gold, silver, and stone. An image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, which means change your mind. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So why did Christ come out of the grave? To prove a point and to be the judge of all later on. 32. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council, and a few men became followers of Paul and believed. Very important to point out, believed. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Why go into this subject today? I believe there's an education in all of us. That we're here for a purpose, we're here for a time. We're here to give of ourselves to one another. We're here to release grace to each other, to support each other. Just like Paul. He was Saul. He was a broken man before he became obedient. There was a lot going on in his life And all things seemed to be very well for a season, but then all of a sudden things fell apart. And Jesus came into the picture and released grace to him. Stay obedient. Stay focused on the Lord. Don't be questioning as best you can. And if you see a stoic spirit around, wait for the instructions. Don't start teaching them. Don't do it, because you're going to waste your time. Paul was given instructions to kind of build them up to open a door. Think about when you speak to somebody who's bound. Don't tell them they're bound, they're not interested. Some of them are happy in their bondage. Don't try to disturb them. Let the Holy Spirit do that. And as you obey, God will free them. Notice it said, some believed. Some were changed. Same thing will happen in your surroundings, on the job, in the marketplace, in your home and family. Close your eyes. Father, we submit this word to you, that you would honor it and bring life to it. I give you the praise and the glory that as you go forward, to counsel us in this week, use these words to bring life to those that have a need. In Jesus' name.